broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, my fellow Americans, happy to have you along. Sam Bushman, Liberty Roundtable Live continues. Hard-hitting talk at your fingertips. This is the broadcast for July the 29th in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is hour two of two with the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to kind of clarify something so that y'all know. You might say to me, Sam, why do you have all these anarchists on the radio? You're not even an anarchist. You're right, I'm not, in the pure sense. I'm a constitutionalist. And you say, well, Sam, look, you have Becky Akers on. You just had Michael Storm on. You have Mark on with Live and Let Live. You have all these anarchists on the radio. Why do you continue to make their points for them and advocate for them when you don't really agree with them? Well, let me kind of break a couple of things down for you that I really think is relevant for this discussion to consider. Number one, I agree with them on the principle of agency without a doubt. I also agree with them on this idea that, you know what, we tend to want to mandate or force our will on everybody for everything all the time by nature of people and governments and everything else. And I agree with their back off a little bit idea. And, you know, Becky and I and others have agreed in the anarchist movement for a long time. It's like, look, even though we slightly disagree, you know what, we have a lot of work to do to work together to get rid of 90%+ of our government. And then we can talk about the differences. But until we get there, we got so much work to do dismantling force, dismantling so much government that, man, we don't even need to worry about our differences until we get there, which is a long, long, long way away. So it's part of this working together idea. But it's also part of this free speech idea where I'm convinced that, you know what, if someone says they're an anarchist, the mainstream press goes, oh, my gosh, you're a terrorist. You're going to let the whole world just get ruined in chaos. No, that's not at all what they're saying. Give them a chance to have their own free speech rights, and you might learn something for crying out loud, right? So in the free speech area, I want to give them a chance. In the idea that we got 90%+ of the government to get rid of, I want to work together. In the idea that they just want to have their own choices and their own freedom, and they believe that government always goes wrong, well, prove to me in history where they're wrong, right? Government always gets too heavy-handed, too abusive. Whenever you give them an inch, they take a mile. You know what? The libertarians, the anarchists are right on this reality check, right? So fundamentally, I have slightly different views than they do in that I believe there must be some government, very limited, and there's a balance there. I would call it the proper role of government. And they would say, well, government has no proper role, Sam. And I would say, I know, but look, there's going to be a vacuum. We don't have a history where government hasn't gone crazy. That's true. We also don't have a history where anarchists have been able to prevent a greater force from taking over either. So Bastiat's The Law really provides a little bit of guidance on this fine line we're talking about. And just because the anarchists have a slightly different spot where that fine line is, we all agree that authority comes from us. The Declaration of Independence says just power derived from the consent of the governed. And so we all agree with that. And we all agree that there's a higher source than government for authority and power. Some of us would call it God, whatever your views are on that. That's fine. But it's above government, whether it's we the people inherently or we the people granted authority and sovereignty by God. Think any way you want to about that. But the reality is it isn't government with the authority. That's the point. And so, you know what, I want these anarchists to be able to make their point because I also don't like the misrepresentation that they get. That's why free speech is so important. Look, whenever you hear the word anarchy, you think, oh my gosh, chaos. Oh my gosh, terror. No, that's Antifa and Black Lives Matter. That's not the anarchist people, not the real ones anyway. The real ones are as kind and as gentle and as patient as anybody else. In fact, really the truth is more so because they don't want to use force. They don't want to use the end of a government gun, right? So even though I'm a constitutionalist in the sense that I believe there must be a little bit of government, Bastiat's The Law highlights this. You've got to give up enough liberty to actually have liberty. And there's a fine line there when you give up enough to maximize liberty versus when they start to take too much, they've crossed the line into immorality. Morality provides more freedom to more people, whereas when you cross the line, you start to create less freedom for less people. So even though I disagree with the anarchists, I have a lot of reasons to support them. I have a lot of reasons to want to hear from them. I have a lot of reasons to, you know what? Let everybody hear from them. Because what they say is very, very appropriate in this discussion. Now, what the founding fathers did, and this is the other side of the coin that I want to highlight, what the founding fathers did was say, look, we know we got to have a little bit of government. No government doesn't work, they believed. So they said we got to have a little bit of government. The only question left is how do we have a little bit of government and then make sure that we tie it down in ways that doesn't let it run amok? And the answer is they said it's only going to work for a moral and a religious people. Well, we're not moral and we're not religious as a society, so we're losing it. I get all that. But what about the opposite idea, the grand old experiment the founders put in place, which was let's have a little bit of government, see if we can chain it down so it doesn't get to be big government. Well, what about the opposite approach that says, why don't we work on an idea that says, let's reduce government. We all got to work towards at least 90% of it gone. We all agree there. But then how do we experiment with less government? What can we turn over to the, quote, private sector, to the individual, and get government out of? How far can we go the other way? We haven't found that out. What we found out from the founding fathers' experiment is, you know what? When you give government a little bit, an inch, even though you try to chain it down, it still finds ways to abuse you and get crazy, right? It always has, always does. The anarchist points are hard to argue against. Government always runs off the rails. Even with the founding fathers' experiment, slowly but surely, 200 plus years later, we're not the same country that we were in our founding era. Our founders would be rolling over in their graves if they knew what kind of tyranny we've let grow up amongst us, right? They would. They'd be freaking out, folks. They would be beside themselves about the blood, the sweat, the tears, the sacred honor, their lives, their, everything on the line for this. And now look what we've done to it. They would be absolutely beside themselves. I agree with the anarchists on this point. So how do we create the experiment to say, instead of just putting a little bit of government in and saying, let's just try to help it not expand, how do we then say, let's just reduce government? The opposite experiment might be valuable in our day. And so that's why, even though I may not agree with them, look, they might change their views over time. They might say, you know what, I thought no government could do any good, but you know what, once you've reduced it down enough, I'm fine with where we're at. They might do that. I might then say, you know what, they're right, though. We need to get rid of a little bit more. You know, I don't know. All I know is that the healthy dialogue in America is incredibly valuable. The open discussion and conversation so that you, my fellow Americans, can think for yourselves and make up your own mind on these matters is critical. And I'm not afraid to bring them to the table and have a discussion. I'm not afraid that you might agree with them and disagree with me. I'm not afraid you'll agree with me and disagree with them. I'm fine with this incredible bantering back and forth and discussion of ideas and really debating and discussing and you know what? Even if it gets a little bit fired up and heated from time to time, you know, all that has tremendous value in America. Whenever one side is afraid to hear from the other side, or one viewpoint is afraid to allow other viewpoints to come to the table, that's when you got to worry, ladies and gentlemen. I'll tell you that right now. Okay? And then to make the last point, I'd much rather have an anarchist on the radio with me than a socialist or a communist. How about you? So if we're going to pick our friends and we're going to work on influencing people, let's go with the kind people that are like, hey, man, just leave me alone. Just don't hurt me. Just don't take my stuff. I want to decide for myself. I don't want government or cops or anybody else to mess with me. I can make my own contracts and make my own way in the world, and I can do it all peacefully and kind if you just leave me alone and let me. That's all they're saying. Is that so hard to understand? Is that so hard to say, you know what? If you understand the principle that my rights end where yours begin and vice versa, if you just lev and let lev, don't take my stuff, don't hurt me, don't, man, pretty simple stuff, right? But if you start digging into the socialist and the communist movement, hey, they want everything by force, right? But only for you and not for them, see? Like Ocasio-Cortez. She literally pushes lockdowns, shame on everybody under the sun. Then she literally, in the middle of the lockdowns, runs to Florida, partays like all get out, without a mask, running around, enjoying the freedoms of DeSantis and others. And then when people highlight her hypocrisy, she goes, oh, man, all these frustrated Republicans, they just can't get a date with me. They're just sexually frustrated because I won't, you know, go to bed with them or sleep with them or whatever else. And you go, what is she talking about? Well, they're fascinated with me. They can't leave me alone. They're just enamored with me. And so she turns this into a dishonest discussion about sex. wait a minute, all we are talking about is you're telling us we all have to lock down, but then you escape the lockdowns and have fun like an elitist. See, that's the problem with this tyrannical system that we face now. You got a two-tiered system. You got all the elites that think, hey, those rules are for thee and not for me, right? And okay, that's the point the anarchists are making. Who gave them special privilege? Who gave them lordship over the rest of us? Who allowed them to be in, quote, charge? I'd like them to leave me alone and get out of my way, please, and thank you so much, would the anarchists' point be. And boy, howdy, do I agree with them on that, right? So, again, I believe that the free flow of ideas is really critical. The more we push towards dismantling and decreasing the size and scope and depth and breadth of government, for the most part, the better off we are. And boy, howdy, when we get down to very limited government, we can look at the Constitution and say, should we get rid of more or not? Is this good? Are we left alone enough? But man, we got a row to hoe for now. And if there's anybody I'd like in my foxhole, it would be an anarchist. It would be somebody who says, I respect you and I believe in you and I trust you to live your life as I'm going to live mine. And if somebody gets out of control, we've got ways to deal with them without giving somebody superpower. That's all they're saying. Is that a fair point? Anyway, I articulate their view because I think I understand it quite well and I agree with 99% of it. Anyway, I wanted to explain that because I know a lot of people have emailed me and said, Sam, why do you have all these people on when you don't even agree with them? You're a constitutionalist. You're right, I am. But it's free speech and open conversation that I prize. Is that a fair idea? Liberty Roundtable, live in seconds.
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? As a physician, I have looked into the eyes of one-pound babies. I have cradled their small bodies in the palm of one hand. I defy those who are careless, who would disregard life and look at these tiny little miracles and say, we're not going to protect that.
But I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Sam Bushman on your radio. I guess Joe Biden said something at the top of the hour news, or it's about Joe Biden at the top of the hour news. It was the first hour, and we heard it, and Cameron, our producer, basically, Sam, did you hear that? I'm like, no. I want to play this and talk about it. This is where Biden is just, the whole thing is psychotic. Here's the clip. We'll talk about it.
Notes recently obtained from an early 2020 meeting involving Dr. Anthony Fauci and virologists worldwide revealed that Dr. Fauci was told to suppress lab leak theories about COVID to maintain good relations with China. Republican Congressman Jim Jordan of Ohio making it clear he's never been a Fauci.
Index, the one.
Ladies and gentlemen, think about that. Anthony Fauci literally was told to suppress the truth You would say theories, but hey, we're finding out it's beyond a theory, to suppress the truth to keep relations good with China. Now, who said that? Was it the Biden administration? Was it the Trump administration? Was it both administrations? Who is giving Fauci direction? Because I thought we were just following the science here, ladies and gentlemen. And I thought the good doctor was doubling down on the science. See how they lie, lie, lie? Shame on them. Right? Shame on them. This isn't science to say suppress viewpoints that you want to disagree with because you don't want relations with China to go south. That isn't science, is it, ladies and gentlemen? You see the hypocrisy and the dishonesty? And most importantly, do you see the immorality? And do you see the problem when they do that? How it becomes a credibility crisis? Think about this, folks. And they want you to believe they're following the science. And they want you to believe whenever I disagree with Fauci, I'm disagreeing with science, right? Right? Wow. And why do we find this out 2 years later would be the next question. What's the deal? And you say, well, Sam, it's these new emails that, well, why are these new emails out 2 years later? Right? Government knew a lot more about the COVID origins than they let on. Right? Look, they knew this. Fauci knew. Now, Rand Paul grills Dr. Fauci about this. Why did you try to suppress this, deal here? Rand Paul grills Dr. Fauci for trying to suppress lab leak theory. Why would you do that? Asked Rand. We're talking about gain of function now. What do you think? White House Chief Medical Advisor Anthony Fauci and Republican Senator Rand Paul engaged in yet another explosive exchange in the Senate hearing on Tuesday. Fauci and the CDC, Rochelle Walensky, were testifying before the Senate Committee on Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions about the Biden administration's COVID-19 response. Paul began to ask Fauci why he suppressed the lab leak theory by dismissing the work of various scientists who were exploring that possibility at the time. Fauci, of course, got fired up in response. I think in usual fashion. And then he goes on, you're just out in the weeds. You're trying to cause a problem, Rand. You don't know what you're talking about, Rand. You're clueless, Rand. You're taking things out of context, Rand. But when you really study it, you go, no. Rand's right. Fauci literally covered up and suppressed this information with a goal of, quote, protecting China, protecting our relationship with China. What really was he even doing? Right? Think about that. But it turns out that Rand Paul is telling the truth. It's amazing, right? Here you go again, Senator. You just do the same thing in every hearing. You're absolutely incorrect. Senator, you're incorrect in almost everything you say. Paul interjected that Fauci denies doing so, but his emails show the truth. Fauci tried to suppress information from scientists from Oxford, Harvard, and Stanford who were open to the lab leak theory. So let's not say we're following the science. That's the biggest, in my opinion, snafu here. We're not following the science, but now we find out scientists are being shut down by Fauci. And then when it's brought up, the emails show, yes, Fauci says you don't know what you're talking about. Who do you believe, the emails that are leaked, the emails that come out, or do you believe Fauci in testimony? Right? This is just crazy town. Now listen, Rand Paul then says this. You conspired with Peter Daszak, who you communicated with privately along with other members of the scientific community that wrote opinion pieces for Nature, Rand Paul said. They signed it and said that it was a conspiracy theory. The idea that the virus could have originated in a lab. But do you think words like conspiracy theory should be in a scientific paper? Asks Rand Paul to Fauci. Paul was referring to emails that show colleagues dismissing the lab leak theory and agreeing to publish articles and make public comments endorsing against that view. All right, anybody who stood up and said, wait, there's something to this, was dismissed as fringe by Fauci. Just like they're dismissing Rand Paul now as fringe. You keep distorting the truth. It is stunning how you do that, Fauci replied. He said, you're distorting it. You're turning it around. I brought everybody together looking at this with open minds, Fauci said. Then Fauci said the purpose of this hearing is to discuss pandemic response, not to, dig into this. Paul then turned to discussing Fauci's pandemic response in support for certain, quote, vaccine and mask mandates. Yeah, Paul accused Fauci of being responsible for the nearly 900,000 coronavirus deaths in the United States. Why? Because you're the architect of the pandemic response, says Paul to Fauci. There you have it. So where do you go with this? Nobody can even discuss the truth anymore, right? I find the whole discussion quite telling. But look, whether you agree with Rand Paul on this, which I do, by the way, but whether you agree with Rand Paul or not, here's what you got to admit. Every time we make a point and they mock us as conspiracy theorists, whacked out, crazy nut jobs, and we dig in later, we find out the truth. Remember, I'm the one that said right from the start, look, when you get the coronavirus vaccine, you're going to shed. You're going to affect people around you. They want to act like if you're not vaccinated, you're dangerous to society. But I say if you're vaccinated, you're dangerous to society because they shed and it affects people. And they said, no, you're crazy. But now even USA Today said that parents can give COVID protection to their unvaccinated children. How does that happen? Oh, well, now they're backhandedly admitting that I'm right. Well, now we go right on down to this discussion with Rand Paul and crew. Senator Rand Paul grills Fauci once again. Fauci just says, Rand, you're wrong. But Fauci is lying, trying to suppress lab leak theory. It's beyond a theory now. Experts and scientists say it's the most likely way that this virus got out to the public is through a lab leak. And I would say that it was intentional, not just a leak. But that's a whole another level of discussion. But remember, we've been right on this all along. We told you masks don't do any good. They first said, no, they don't. They agreed with us. Then they said, yes, you got to have a mask. Now they're saying, well, the cloth masks don't really work 2 years later. Everything Fauci has been doubling down on to control the people and the population has turned out to be a flat out dishonest manipulation of the truth. I am Sam Bushman. Liberty Roundtable Live continues in mere seconds on your radio.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Tensions continue to rise in Eastern Europe as Russia keeps sending more troops and military equipment to the border of Ukraine. Florida Republican Congressman Michael Walls joins Fox News and says he wants more action from the Pentagon.
A statement that we're going to accelerate lethal aid, and the types of lethal aid that we're sending just aren't good enough. They need surface-to-air missiles. They need anti-ship missiles. They need more sophisticated weaponry.
The Ukrainian president saying he's concerned about the Russian troops at the border, but doesn't see any immediate indications of an invasion. The vast majority of cases across the nation are classic Omicron. That's what Dr. Fauci said, noting the new Omicron variant, or BA.2, doesn't appear to be any more severe. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn-Root. It's official. Inflation is at its highest level since the 1980s, according to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. What most people don't know is that it's actually much worse. Inflation may be higher now than the 1980s, since the new measurements exclude food and energy. Gas prices up 58%, energy up 33%. What can you do about it? Protect yourself and your family. Only gold, silver, and other hard assets give you true protection. My friends at Tangible Investments guarantee the absolute lowest prices on precious metals. Check them out at TII1.com or call 800-300-8441. Tangible Investments has 40 years of experience and billions, that's with a B, billions in transactions. Call 800-300-8441 if you want help with gold, silver, platinum. They guarantee you the best prices plus excellent service. Call Tangible Investments now, 800-300-8441, or visit TII1.com. They also provide free verbal appraisals.
Inflation is continuing to affect your pocketbook.
Inflation continues to rise. The Commerce Department reported Friday consumer prices rose 5.8% in December compared to 1 year earlier. The government is blaming supply chain disruptions, product shortages, and a tight labor market. It should be noted the Personal Consumption Expenditures Index, the one the Federal Reserve watches closely, does not include food and energy prices. It rose to 5.7% in November. From the West Coast USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
Pennsylvania court is striking down the state's mail voting law, saying voters must amend the Constitution to make it legal. A judge ruled voters must approve an amendment to be part of Pennsylvania's Constitution to make the law official. The judge said mail-in voting has been used four times in the state's history, and an amendment was likely to be approved if put before voters. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. The truth shall set you free. Check this out. This is a very interesting discussion. All right, I don't even know how to respond to this exactly, but here it goes. Headline, Toyota shoots for the moon. Automaker working on vehicle for space missions, says the headline. Wow, that's interesting, huh? How do you want to get into your Toyota space ship there, Cameron? You want to do that? Yeah, man. You can do it. This is very interesting in my opinion. Because I don't really know what their agenda is with this thing. But they say this graphic provided by Toyota shows the, quote, lunar cruiser. What's the lunar cruiser, man? Well, it's a new vehicle, I guess. Toyota's working with, quote, the Japanese Space Agency. This is weird, huh? Yeah. Toyota's working with Japan's Space Agency on a vehicle to explore the lunar surface. And then they say, this is interesting, with ambitions to help people live on the moon by 2040. Hey, I might be dead by then there, Cam. Let's see, in 2040, how old will I be? I'm 54 now. I'll be 55 this year, so just say 55 and 18, 65, 75. I'll be 73. I probably won't be dead, but I probably won't be seeking for a moon life. You know what I'm talking about? I'll probably just want to finish up on Earth. You know what I'm talking about? As the good Lord intended. But Cameron, now, you, my friend, could do it. Then they want you to go live on Mars right after that. Then go live on Mars, they say. I just find this so fascinating. Do you want to go live on the moon, Cam? You could be the real man in the moon, dude. Yeah, so you remember the Land Cruiser from Toyota, don't you, Cam? All right, well, this is the Lunar Cruiser, dude, named after the Land Cruiser. Yeah, developed with the Japan Aerospace Exploration Agency. Wow. I think that's kind of cool, man. Lunar Cruiser, dude. I think that's all right, man. I want one of them Lunar Cruisers. I wonder, can I run a Lunar Cruiser on Earth, or does it only run on the moon? You don't know, huh? You're supposed to know all about this, Cam. They say its launch is set for the late 2020s, my friend. I don't understand, why is it going to take till the late 2020s to get this dude rolling? They say, we see space as an area for our, quote, once in a century transformation. What does that mean? They call it a once in a what? Yeah, we see space as an area for our once in a century transformation. I don't know why we'd have a once in a century transformation. Says Takao Sato, who heads up the, quote, Lunar Cruiser Project. Toyota Motor Corp says, by going to space, we may be able to develop telecommunication and other technologies that'll prove valuable to human life. Wait a minute. I don't understand. We've already got that communication, don't we? We did that back in like 69, man. You know, we were communicating on the moon, right? No problem. We were all good with this, ladies and gentlemen. Now, they have a robotic arm for the Lunar Cruiser, too, you ought to know about. They say it's designed to perform tasks such as inspections and maintenance. Its, quote, grapple fixture allows the arm's end to be changed out so it can work with different tools, like you could scoop, you can lift, you can sweep. I guess the chief executive showed the details of this arm. They say the challenge of blasting off into space has basically been met. But in space, they say big costs and hazards are kind of the problem here. That's where robotics could come in handy, these hazards for the astronauts. Meanwhile, a private Japanese venture called iSpace, I think is how you say it, Inc. is working on lunar rovers and is scheduled for a moon landing later this year. Really? Is that landing with people or just landing without people? Because we landed with people in 69, and it's interesting they keep going back without people. But if they want you to live on the moon pretty soon, why would you go back without people? There? See, I'm just dumber than dirt, huh? I just don't understand all this stuff, man. Maybe I can go ahead and get myself one of them scientific degrees so I can figure it out. But I don't understand this. Bart Sibrel is a good friend of mine. He's the guy that got punched in the face by Buzz Aldrin. And he's written the new book called Moon Man. And we're going to be having Bart on coming up soon to talk about Moon Man and talk about what's going on. Because he's uncovered all kinds of things that'll shock you to the very core about the moon mission lies. We didn't go to the moon in 69, ladies and gentlemen, not even maybe. And they tell you we did, but they lie. Why do they lie? Because they've got to save face. How do we know? Well, Bart talks about the murders that took place so-called accidents, the government would say. For those who were scientists and, quote, astronauts who wouldn't lie and who wanted to call a halt to the false, dishonest narrative of the preparation to go to the moon, who wanted to tell you the truth, who are dead under very strange circumstances the government would call accidents, but we're convinced it's murder. So Bart, in his new book, has a lot of new information to bring to the table on the moon mission discussions, partly these murders I've been telling you about, partly the fact that they tried to throw him in a loony bin for reporting on the moon landing lies. Really, he took on the CIA as he tried to go to CNN, and they threw him in a loony bin. He had to escape, and he tells that whole story. Moon Man is the name of the book. Very interesting stuff. I'm going to get Bart back, though, about this, because I'm telling you, wow. And now you got these Japanese folks going, hey, man, Toyota shoots for the moon. Well, I thought Tesla was shooting for the moon. Well, if Toyota's shooting for the moon and Tesla's shooting for the moon and everybody's shooting for the moon, well, we got there in a few short years in the 60s, man. How come we can't get there now? Now they're talking about, well, we want to be able to live there by 2040. What? It's like 20 years away. Why do we need so long? And they want to explore the lunar surface. And then they say, and then go on to go live on Mars. We're not even close to this, ladies and gentlemen, are we? No, not really, Sam. Well, we're about to go there. How come every time we say we're going to go there? How come every time we say we're going to go there, ladies and gentlemen, do we start out saying we're going to go there, and then they put a timeline, and then they keep pushing back the timeline? How many times since 2000 have they pushed back timelines of going to the moon? Right? It's weird stuff, ladies and gentlemen. That's what I'm talking about. And then I bring it up and they say I'm a nut, right? But Toyota's working with Japan's space agency on a vehicle called Lunar Cruiser to explore the lunar surface with ambitions to help people live on the moon by 2040. And then go live on Mars. I don't think we're even close to this, folks. They say that the launch of even the vehicle is set for the late 2020s. Why so long to come out with that vehicle, Toyota? I submit to you because they don't really have it. That it's not really real. That it's just all talk, isn't it? Wow. I find that interesting. And I know a lot of you believe we went to the moon. You absolutely believe it because you just can't accept anything else. But this really goes back to my last hour discussion with our buddy Michael Storm. You know, can you really think outside the box and approach life a little differently? Or does that just absolutely blow your mind, drive you out of your mind to think we don't need government and to think that we didn't go to the moon? You say, Sam, these conspiracy theories just prove that you're not credible. And my response is, you think so, do you? All right, well, let's talk about it relating to science. We've already proved to you that Fauci's out in the weeds. We've already proved to you that everything we've told you about COVID in the beginning is right, including that vaccinations can affect people that aren't vaccinated if they're around vaccinated people, right? Well, we got more. We'll tell you about scientists taking issue with Joe Rogan. In seconds.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit to preservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Play among the stars. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, hold my hand. In other words, baby, kiss me. Fill my heart with song and let me sing forevermore.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Your spouse might take you to the moon. I know you think the person you marry is over the moon. You know, it reminds me of It's a Wonderful Life, the black and white movie where, you know, George and Mary are there and they're outside that old house. And he says, you know, I'm gonna rope the moon for you, Mary. I'm gonna go ahead and just pull it down. And it's kind of a cool deal. But you know what? That's kind of the deal, folks. You want to live on the moon? That's romantic, right? You just go ahead and get married. And you heard of a honeymoon. What if you went to the moon for your honeymoon, ladies and gentlemen? Now, that's talking something, you know? Instead of saying, I'm going to rope the moon for you, Mary, he'd be like, I'm going to take you to the moon. Where are you going for your honeymoon? That's right, the moon. Ladies and gentlemen, we ain't never been to the moon. Fly to the moon, Frank Sinatra. All right, there you have it. So scientists are now taking issue with the Joe Rogan podcast once again. I guess discussion experts label climate change comments by the guest on Joe Rogan named Jordan Peterson as dangerous nonsense, they say. Now, let me tell you the comments that are made that I find fascinating. Because, again, do you want to hear your lying eyes? I'm sorry, do you want to believe your lying eye? What's the deal here? Do you want to believe what you know to be factual, or do you want to believe the propaganda pitched by the scientific community? They're so dishonest, these people in the media, and they're so desirous to hang on to control, right? But they lose their whole argument is the problem. All right? They say they got this, you know, picture of Joe Rogan performing at the whatever you want to call it. He was speaking and they got this photo of Joe Rogan, right? So they always put with their articles and their stories. But they say critics are out, accusing the Spotify exclusive Joe Rogan Experience podcast as being dangerous. Yeah, after Tuesday's episode, dangerous. They say it's a salad of nonsense about climate science. Now, listen carefully, because I want to articulate this very well to you. Joe Rogan and his guests are spot on, by the way. They say the Joe Rogan Experience podcast took this on just days after, quote, 200 plus 70 scientists and scientific and medical community people demand Spotify address COVID-19 misinformation on Joe Rogan's podcast. But now they're saying it's even worse. Jordan Peterson appeared as a guest telling an estimated 11 million listeners that climate models get less reliable the further out you look, as with weather forecasts. Now, let me just stop there. And I want you to just stop the debate between Joe Jordan Peterson and the scientific community for a second, because I want you to analyze the comments being made here on their own. Okay, the scientists are offended that you're questioning their models. But here's what Jordan said. As you stretch out the models across time, the errors increase radically, said Peterson. Now, I couldn't agree more. Okay, this is not a debatable argument. But yet, they then want to say who's not a expert in this field. But he says maybe you can predict a week, 3 weeks, a month, maybe even a year. But the further out these models go, the less reliable they become. The more the models are in error, he says. Now, I want to stop you there, because do you need to be an expert in this field to double down on this reality point? And the answer is clearly no. And this is where, again, the science community loses credibility big time right now. I mean, big time. Okay, I don't care what the topic is. If you are trying to project or predict or whatever the future, no matter what methodology you use in the scientific community, ladies and gentlemen, the further your projections are, the less reliable they are is a scientific fact beyond debate or discussion. Because to know what's going to happen in the next second is guesswork. 2 seconds is more guesswork. 3 seconds is 1 minute, 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 1 hour, 2 hours, 5 hours, 1 day, 5 days, a month, a year, a decade, a century, a millennia. The further you go out, the less reliable it will be, because all those seconds in between, things can happen that change the narrative. So in second one, I don't know how many things could happen in 1 second, but second two, now it's double the amount of time. With time comes things that can occur. The more things that can occur in the greater amount of time, the greater guesswork it takes. This is not debatable. This is not where you have to be in the weather industry to know. These are the people that can't predict the weather, by the way. Well, they say it's not the same thing at all. He doesn't know. He's not educated. He's not an expert in the field. And my response is, these guys are as crazy as the moon landing lies. Okay, scientists take issue with Joe Rogan and the podcast. Experts are labeling climate comments by guest Jordan Peterson as dangerous and nonsense. It isn't nonsense. Jordan Peterson appears as a guest telling an estimated 11 million listeners that climate models get less reliable the further out you look. Just like weather forecasts. Now, you can debate if the scientists and the models they use are different for the weather than they are for climate change. Although I thought climate change was weather, but okay. But you cannot argue with this fact that the further you project, the less reliable your models become. As you stretch out the models across time, the errors increase radically. Rightly, I would say, says Peterson. Think about that for a minute. Cameron, you're a critical thinking man. For this Jordan Peterson, whether he's a scientist or not, whether he's, quote, a professional in his field or not, doesn't matter. He's merely just saying this. As you stretch out the time on these models, they become less reliable. Is that even debatable? I can't believe they're attacking this guy like this, because when they do, they lose their credibility to the point where, you know what, I don't have any trust at all for these climate scientists anymore. If they don't agree with the idea that the further out their models project, the less reliable they become, it's not even debatable that that's a fact for anything you predict, anything you guess, anything you try to put a model together for. The longer that model has to be accurate, the greater chance for error. This is scientific fact, ladies and gentlemen. Cameron, what do you think about this? How can you say, so I'm going to ask these scientific thugs, and I call them that because why are they attacking this guy? And why are they saying you don't have a degree, you're not an expert in the field, you're, no, but I have a brain, and I can think, right? And I'm telling you, how can you disagree with the idea that the longer you have to project, the greater chance for error and the greater chance for inaccuracy? If I had to write a model for a year, would my 10-year model be more reliable or less reliable? By nature of reality. If they're saying it's exactly the same in its reliability, how do they know that? What if they're wrong? If it's easy to predict a year, and it's, is it easier to predict 10 years or is it just the same? What about 100 years? How could predicting 100 years be just as easy as 1 year or 10 years? How can we say there's not more possibility for error? Anyway, I double down on this because Joe Rogan's telling the truth here. And his guest, Jordan Peterson, is right on this. This is not even debatable. You don't have to have a science degree to know this. I don't care what you're guessing, what you're predicting, what you're modeling. The longer you have to project, guess, model for, the greater chance there's error. That is that even debatable? It's hard for me to even have this kind of a discussion. How can you not understand this? How can you not understand this? It is a fact. Right? Let me ask you a question from an insurance point of view to help you guys. Insurance companies do what are called actuarial tables, and those tables determine what the average life expectancy of a male and a female is, and they go ahead and they determine based on a past history and what your longevity is expected, and then they put their pricing together to make sure that, hey, the insurance company doesn't wrongly project or predict or guess and then lose the farm, meaning that they have too many claims and they can't pay them, so they melt down. So their job is to do these actuarial tables to guess, to figure out the future of how long people are going to live, and those tables change every year. They update their models. Why do they do that? Are they just dumber than dirt and they don't understand that they could project a million years in the future and it would be accurate? By golly, and it would never become less accurate over time? That it wouldn't become less reliable? Jordan Peterson says, hey man, the longer you have these models, the more further out you look, the less reliable it will be. And these guys are saying he doesn't know. And if he doesn't know, then why don't you go ahead and go back to the 1900s? Put your actuarial tables together and leave them there. And now in 2022, let's see how accurate they are, comparatively speaking. And literally in the 1900s, the average person lived to be like 50 years old. Now it's like 76 or something for men and like 79 or 78 for women or something. Okay, it's changed drastically. But if you would have used the actuarial tables back in 1900, you can't even dream to tell me that they would be accurate today. Anybody in their right mind will tell you that's not true. What will it be like if we get all kinds of capabilities scientifically to where people can live longer? What if you did an actuarial table back in the Bible, if you believe the Bible? How long did Adam live? How long did Seth live? How long did Enoch and Methuselah and all the real forefathers, if you will? Hey man, Methuselah, if you believe the biblical record, lived to be 969 years old. Wow. If they had the actuarial tables then that they got now, I mean, I could probably get life insurance for like a penny. Because, I mean, they'd figure out to live for a long old time, baby. I mean, people were having children. Men were having babies at like 600, 700, 800, 900 years old, if you believe the biblical account, right? Ladies and gentlemen, this scientific community has absolutely walked off the cliff when it comes to credibility. They're crazy. Joe Rogan, I commend you for telling the truth. They don't have a clue on climate change, and this just proves it. Jordan Peterson, God bless you for telling the truth, my brother. These people in science are absolutely off their rockers nuts. They've jettisoned science long ago on their political benders. They're whacked out crazy. Thanks for telling the truth. That wraps up Liberty Roundtable Live. I am Sam Bushman. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. God save the Republic of the United States of America.